Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another Blendian Project episode of Hopes and Dreams. I'm your host and founder, Jonah Batumzi, and today we're going to do something a little bit different. During lockdown, I interview a series of people in relationships, couples, individuals, and talk to them about their trials and tribulations. One day, I was contacted by a gentleman by the name Perry on Facebook. He had a story that he wanted to tell, and it was about a woman by the name of Priya, who apparently got tricked into getting sent back to India by her family because of her relationship. And here's the story.
Perry, you reached out to me about a week and a half ago, I'd say, and wanted to share your story. So that's what this is about, really. Do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Okay. Hi, my name's Perry. I'm from the UK. Currently based in Buckinghamshire or the area. So I reached out to Blendian Project after experiencing what has been probably a horrific year in terms of what I've gone through. So I was just reaching out to see if I could get some help because I've tried every other avenue pretty much.
Cool. So yeah, so the community has been really, I think, supportive in terms of asking for details, last names, locations, things like that. So let's get into it. Could you just put your camera down just a little bit? It's just cool. Now we can see you. So you had a relationship. You were in a relationship with a South Asian woman named Priya. How did you all meet? How did all this start?
So about 3 years ago, I started working in a place called Chadwick Lodge in Milton Keynes. I saw her within my first couple of days, and I thought she was nice. I then reached out to a mutual friend who I knew before starting there, who also knew her, and just asked if she could basically connect us. Yeah. She basically told me that I needed to be serious because she's a nice girl and that she's not into fun and games. As time went past, I got into another relationship, so I kind of just left her on the side. Not her on the side, but I wasn't pursuing her anymore.
Pursuing it, yeah. Were you still friends at that time? And
I knew of her and she knew of me, but okay. That was it. Okay. As time went past, as I progressed through my career, it happened that the ward she was on was the same ward as my manager, because he had dual wards. So they'd organized the barbecue last year, summer. And during the 2 years, we had kind of progressed as friends. Mm. As the barbecue finished, our friendship developed. And we just hung out and spoke to each other. I was then moved or transferred to her ward as well. And that's when things kind of got, pursued a bit more.
Gotcha. Okay. And what were you thinking at this point in time? Had you been in a relationship with another?
I was still in a relationship, but we were just friends. We just connected and vibed together. And we'd at the barbecue, we just kind of connected. So that happened. And then in October, we had training together. So we just exchanged numbers about the training and that was it. She then told me she was going to India this time last year, November time. So when she got there, she told me that her family had arranged for her to meet a prospective husband, I guess.
Yeah.
So then I said to her, I explained to her as a friend, is this really what you want? You need to do what's best for you and not your family. She then explained to me after a lot of conversation that her mum had said to her that her parents were an arranged marriage and that if you don't love the guy now, you'll learn to love him when you have children. So I explained to her that we work in mental health. It's not going to be that simple. And that should end up very much like a lot of our female patients, which have got a lot of trauma and sexually abused. As time went on, she came back in January, I think. So I just sat her down and spoke to her as a friend and said, if this isn't what you really want, to explain to your parents. And put your views across. We exchanged different dialogues and conversation. And basically she said, if they find me disrespectful, they might take me to India. And I said, hold on, we're in the 21st century. That doesn't happen. Anyways, so time went on. She then informed her family that she wasn't interested in Asian guys, and she had a preference of black guys.
She told her parents that directly?
In a roundabout way, yeah.
Okay.
So basically, the guy they had prospectively asked her to marry then backed off because she wasn't showing so much interest.
Yeah.
And he just said, okay, I'll call off the wedding, because she was due to go back in April to get married. Miraculously, as soon as the guy called it off, her cousin appeared on the picture from China. He'll become more relevant as the story goes by. But he stated he had stage 4 cancer.
And was he, what, her age, younger, older, or what?
He's a couple of years younger than her. So okay. He's 22, I think.
Okay, cool. So he pops on the scene, and all of a sudden he has cancer and everything.
And only she knows, and his dad. So then I'm still with my girlfriend at this point, but we break up due to our own differences. And then Priya turns around and says, the person I actually like is you, so let's hang out. So as that develops, she then says, I want to tell my family about you because I want them to see what I see in you. So I explained to her.
How long after this was after you started, that she told you that she liked you, that she said she was going to tell her parents?
This was after about 3 months, but okay. She had said basically beforehand that because we were friends, she knew what I was about. So I said, I'm not sure if that's a good idea, because I know how some cultures can find it challenging. So as we went forward, she decided that it would be a good idea to meet her parents. She's told her brother, first conversation they've had about a relationship, that she was with me. And he said, basically, because her dad has a medical condition whereby if he gets stressed or anxious, it exacerbates his condition. So it was better to meet the brother. So I met her brother in March. March,
how was
April.
How was the meeting?
It was fine. Her cousin was there as well. And it was just as Corona kind of took over the world.
Okay.
So we met outside in a park. We were talking. Conversation was fine. He said basically, because of the age difference of 13 years, it might not work out. But what was our plans for the future? And I said, well, knowing what I know of her and what we know of each other, we're looking for long term. So what happened after that was the conversation finished. She rang me and...
Was she there?
She wasn't there. She was at home.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so you met them just, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then she rang me and basically said, how was it? And I said, he's going to speak to you, see what your perspective vision is, and iron out the cultural differences. So as I was on the phone to her, her dad then came up because her brother was home and started speaking to her in her local dialect, Tamil. I was on loudspeaker, and from what I heard, it wasn't good. It was a verbal abuse, quite loud in an aggressive tone. So I asked her what he had said, and he had basically said that stereotypically black guys leave their women. She needs to go with an Indian guy that they pick so she can have a long marriage. I've probably got kids somewhere. I'll leave her. And that they know best, basically, and she's become out of control. So that happened. And then all of a sudden, she came to work and her brother turned up the same day and said basically they didn't want her working because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So the manager came down and explained that they had precautions in place to safeguard staff and family from corona. And as the conversation went on, the manager kind of got a gist. It wasn't just to do with corona.
Yeah.
So he asked her about the conversation, and basically I told her to tell him the truth in case something, as the situation we're in right now, happens. So she said she was in a relationship with me and basically asked her what she wanted to do. She said nothing. I love Terry. We're looking to start a future together, and that's how I want it. As time went on, her family, in particular her brother and her cousin, kept coming to work because they didn't understand we were on shifts and we don't work the same shift. And we're just making sure she was at work. She wasn't seeing me, calling her. If she did see me after work, her cousin would call over 50 times within the space of half an hour. Then a couple of weeks later, she decided she wasn't coming to work anymore. And she said basically she was ill. So I was communicating with her and I said, "Are you really ill?" She said, "No, my parents have stopped me coming to work because the cousin's dad had rang from India, where he works in a temple, and had said that according to the signs and the gods, she couldn't make any decisions on her future or about moving or relationships for the next year, or she would have bad luck." So I explained to her and my friend that does she really believe this? Because she's never really been into all the Indian culture in that respect, because she's lived here for 18 years. So myself and my friend tried to talk to her, and she said, "No, it might be true." So she stopped coming to work. And then she came back to work a week after. And then after that, she decided that she was going to stay in the hotel that work had organized. So she went to the hotel and I asked her what had happened, because she was quite tearful and upset. So she explained she had gone to the hotel after work, having sent me a message with a code word because her brother and her cousin had followed her from work to drop off a friend, work colleague, and then back to the hotel.
So you guys had a, you even had a code word and stuff that you came up with just in case it, something happened, yeah.
So then I said, "Do you want me to tell the manager to call the police?" And she said, "No, I'm fine at the minute." So I went to see her and we spoke the whole night. And then she went back to the hotel. The next day she went to work, she came back and she said, "I'm still having issues." So I went to see her. The hotel actually called work and said she was breaking protocol for COVID. So my manager called me and said, "What the hell am I doing? I need to think about things." And I said, "Well, this is what I want and this is how I'm pursuing it. And what did you expect me to do in this situation?" So that was okay. In the meantime, she had her phone off as well. So I had given her my iPad to use. She turned her phone on after 2 days, after myself, the manager, and our friend had looked for properties for her. I said she could have stayed at mine, but at that time, my sister, who was pregnant or who is pregnant, it was at mine with her brother, with my brother-in-law as well. So I didn't really have space, and it wasn't exactly the best timing. So after 2 days, she went home, and I said, "What's gone on that you've gone home?" She said she turned her phone on, and her family had said her dad's really sick; he might be hospitalized, and that she needs to come home urgently. So she went home. Then that's when things started getting really complicated. So they took her phone, her car keys. Her brother moved in and slept downstairs, so she couldn't leave the house. All sorts. So she wasn't working for a week. She messaged me from my iPad when her cousin wasn't around and said, "I can't come to work." So I basically, after her leave and her sickness had ended, I said to her, "I'll pick her up." So I picked her up at 5 o'clock in the morning and said, "You can't live life like this. Something needs to be done." So after that, during that week she was off, our friend had gone to hers and said, "Oh, she misses her. She hasn't seen her for a long time." And we snuck in a phone and a SIM card in a bunch of flowers and chocolate. So that happened. Then she came back to work. Everything was okay for about a month, even though the family was still coming to and from work. But I was off work because I was working from home at this time. She then applied for leave for 3 months and said that she had to look after her cousin who had stage four cancer and he was really sick and he wasn't accepting treatment, so she was trying to do him special organic meal plans to help him along the way till he went back to India. So her 3 month annual leave was granted, but she spoke to the director and our manager about is she definitely returning to work. She said yes, and they said, "Are you going to India? Do you have any plans to go to India? Because the way things are going, your family seem quite relentless. She said she doesn't want to go to India. She has no intention of meeting or marrying an Indian man, but she wants to stay here and pursue her nursing career. Another relevant point is that the family was really relentless, so we had broken up a couple of times in between. But we decided we'd definitely give a shot working it out together. So she applied for leave, and then in May, no, sorry, in June, she applied for a senior position and went for an interview. At this time, she had told me she was going to India for a holiday. And I said, "But you said you didn't want to go to India, so what's going on?" She said she has to take her cousin back, who's in his 20s, make sure he's okay, he receives treatment, and then literally just drop him off and come back. And I said, "It doesn't make sense to go in the middle of Corona. Your dad's sick, he's meant to be sick. And it's not an ideal time. Especially if you've got to quarantine for 7 days and then come back. It just seems like a waste
For
of money."
sure, for sure. Very quick trip. Long way to go for it, you know.
So I said to her, basically, if you're going, I don't think I'm going to see you again because I think they're planning to take you there and break us up. She said no. They've ensured her it's a holiday. She spoke about our relationship, and they don't really talk about it in the house, but they know of it, and she's told them this is what she wants. So I said to her, not talking about it is a problem because they're not addressing the issue and they're up to something. But she insisted they weren't. So we went back and forth about this trip to India. In the end, I just said, "Do you know what? If you're going, let's not talk." So we broke up until my birthday, which was in July. So 3 weeks later, she did this amazing thing, got me loads of presents, got people at work because I wasn't at work to do a video diary. And just wish me happy birthday. So I contacted her via email, and said, "Look, I need to see you, and just say thanks." Then we reconnected and started talking, and then she said, "I'm going to India in 2 weeks." And I said, "Okay, I'm tired of fighting. Let me just support you and encourage you to go. When you come back, we can continue where we left off." So 18th of July, she went to India. Everything was okay. She FaceTimed every day, no issue. She was quarantining. And then on the 25th, we FaceTimed and she said she's got her COVID results. Hopefully she can go
Yeah,
to where
and
her
get out
family
because
is.
she'd been quarantined at that time, right?
For 7 days. So she said another 7 days in an open space. And I said, "Okay, so where's your brother?" And she said he didn't come in the end. And I said, "Well, I thought he was there." And I said, "Something doesn't sound right." And she was happily FaceTiming when her family was there, and I said, "They've always had an issue with it. How come they don't now?" And I said, "It makes no sense for her brother to come later if she's got to quarantine for 7 days. They've got to pay out all this money, and you live 6 hours away." So anyway, she went a negative result, and then 3 days later, on the 28th of July, I got a message, a text message which she never sends at all, saying, "I won't be coming back to the UK. My family tricked me, only brought me to India to stay." As the conversation went on through the text messages, I said, "Send me your address." And she said, "Don't do anything because it's too dangerous." She then switched to WhatsApp, and then said that her cousin, who had spoken to while she was in India previously, and her whole family was in on the plan. And then the messages on WhatsApp started getting bizarre because I asked her if it was her and she said, "Yes, it's me." And then all of a sudden, I got messages saying, "Forget about me. My family's really important. Move on. I don't want anything to do with you." Just bizarre messages, very out of character. So I thought outside the box and I added her cousin on Instagram and just said, "Did you get there
Which
safely?"
cousin is that? That's a cousin that what came to the UK from China?
The cousin that came to UK from China, I messaged him on Instagram in the conversation. And then he just said, "Yeah, she's fine, but she doesn't want anything to do with anyone from London. We don't live in London." She's never referred to where we live as London. And then she mentioned the manager's name and said, "She doesn't want anything to do with you, Perry, or our manager." So I said, "I've never spoken to our manager." So I then messaged my manager and asked him, "Has he heard anything?" And he said, "Yeah. I got a bizarre message saying she's not coming back to the UK as well, but don't do anything and that she can't go to the police because they'll just take her back to the family house. So I contacted the forced marriage unit because I was under the presumption she was getting married because she had said her female cousin, the sister of the cousin from China, was getting married in August. So I said, I presume that's her wedding, not the cousin's. As time went on, the wedding kept getting pushed back.
What
So
did
the cousin.
the forced marriage unit say?
So the forced marriage unit said they don't do rescue missions. The best way to go about it is to go through employment if she's resigned, employment law. So as the conversation went on with the cousin and her Instagram, which is now deactivated, she said she had resigned. So I spoke to our director and said we don't need to accept the resignation because the forced marriage unit have said it has to come from a secure email. Said I'd pursue that route. So back and forth, there was dialogue between the director and the forced marriage unit. And then bizarrely, we started getting the weird messages through WhatsApp, saying to loads of different work colleagues across different platforms, saying, someone broke my heart at Chadwick, so I've moved to India to sort myself out, and I've now become a nude model. So we were like, this doesn't make sense. And the English was so, it's like primary school English. It was terrible, and it wasn't her. And the messages like, get lost, leave me alone. So I told the police, and the police basically said to me, how do I know it's not her? And I said, well, I think I know my girlfriend and the way she conversates, and it's not her. And these messages keep circulating around colleagues at work. But what they did is make it out like it was her, sometimes even sending voice notes of her.
Really, of her.
After she'd been forced to say things because she sounded like she was being made to make it believable.
Gotcha. So she was saying stuff, what, like, leave me alone, and I don't.
She just said, thank you. So initially she had said, leave me alone. I'm okay. Don't do anything. I'm happy here. I'm not being kept under my will. Just forget about me. And then to colleagues, it was like, yeah, I've become a nude model because someone broke my heart at work.
Gotcha. Yeah, you told me there were really twisted messages that they.
So there were a lot of sexually inappropriate messages, a lot of inappropriate just in language. So then they started sending people at work and myself pictures of Indian people who were nude without their face. And because our relationship wasn't really known at work, a lot of people were saying, how do you know it's not her? And I was like, well, I know it's not her. But I couldn't obviously express it. So when speaking with the police, they eventually said, okay, fine. What can we do? And they said, we can't really do anything. So they came up with a plan to contact the embassy and say that basically her passport had been cloned. In between this time, I had gone to her house with a friend, but my friend knocked and said she was looking for Priya because she hadn't been online. They used to come online every like maybe once or twice a week. And she's quite an active social media person. And they'd post pictures of like a third person, someone taking pictures of her, not of her taking a selfie. So I went to the house and the brother basically answered the door and said, he has no contact details for his sister, which is crazy because who doesn't have contact details for a family member? So we left that.
What did he say when, what did the brother say when he saw you there?
He didn't see me. He didn't know I was there. My friend went,
Okay.
and he basically told my friend that he hasn't got any contact details for her.
Okay.
And then miraculously she came online and pictures were taken of her as a third person.
Yeah.
So the police got in contact with him and basically told him that his sister's passport had been cloned. They can't get hold of her. So she needs to attend to go to the embassy. In the meantime, I found out that they had put their house up for rent for long-term rent, which is anything between 6 months to a year.
Gotcha. And they're in Milton Keynes, right? The house? Yeah.
So the house
Okay.
is in Milton Keynes as well. So miraculously, once the police had seen the brother, supposedly she had gone to the embassy and verified who she was. I'm still questioning that because speaking to people I know who are from India and also very much like the African culture, you can pay somebody to go as you. And her passport picture looks nothing like her. She does in modern day. It's quite an old picture. So I was questioning that. Anyways, the forced marriage unit and the police rang me, said that she had verified who she was. She had said she was happy to be in India. She wasn't under any duress. She wasn't in any danger. She's staying in India to further her education. You can't further your education in India if you're doing nursing because it's not valid in the UK. And it would make no sense for her to do her education there when she spent 3 years, well, 6 years in total for her career.
Yeah, already in the UK, yeah.
So basically, that's what happened. So the police rang me and the forced marriage unit rang me and said they're closing the case because she's verified who she is. And that was it. So then the messages continued after that. And they were messaging me and various other people. And basically, it turned out that the person who was messaging was saying loads of derogatory terms about her. So they went through her phone, they've taken all her communication. And it said basically found every picture she had with friends who were black and sent it to everyone saying she'd been sleeping with these people, and that she's a whore, she's lost control, and that the person messaging was her ex-boyfriend. So we asked where from, and they basically said from Oxford, where she had studied, and that she needed to be taught a lesson. That's why they were doing it. She's never had an ex-boyfriend. She never had a boyfriend at uni, so I don't know where they've got this information from. But the obviously family member who's taken control of her phone knows the information about her. So we found out it was an ex-boyfriend. So I messaged the brother, just to, like, concerned really, because I said if this was my sister, I wouldn't want this stuff to be sent
For
around
sure.
about her.
For sure.
The long and short story of it was that he turned around and says, "Oh, I hope the police catch whoever it is." So obviously somebody's using her phone. So I was like, if that was my sister, that's not the response I'd be sending. I'd tell her to contact you guys and let people know. The person using her phone had also turned around and said that it was his phone, and she'd been using it for the last 3 years. And
So it
that,
just didn't really add up at all, huh?
yeah, it was just very bizarre. So after that, this is where I'm at now. We'd spoken about future plans and starting a family. And everything else, but right now her phone is off WhatsApp. They've deleted her off Instagram, so there's no way to access her. They sent me a message the other week because I text a while ago and they said, "Oh, you text me," and I said, "No, I didn't, but I know the number. You can't text unless it's connected to a line. It won't receive the message." So they'd basically said to me, "Just move on, leave me alone." And all of the really bad messages. So I said, "I'm telling the police," and they said, "I've already seen the police, LOL." And I said, "If you're not careful, you'll be in trouble too." And so I just said, "Is that a threat?" And then the person disappeared offline and she hasn't been online since. So that's where I'm at today. And then obviously I contacted you guys,
For sure.
just seeing if.
Has anybody else heard anything?
Not that I know of, no.
Gotcha.
So right now they've been inactive for about a week, but I'm presuming when they said they'd seen the police, they were talking about going to the embassy. Because I said there's no British police in India, and they said, "Well, we saw the police," and that was it.
Bro, I feel for you. I feel for you, man.
Anything I can do.
Let's
And
see, what are people saying? See if you can get in contact with their close friends without Priya's family knowing. All of the
she,
friends, though, you know, are the work colleagues, right?
yeah, she kept a very close knit of friends, and the only people she really spoke to was, I was like her best friend, and the one lady at work who was like her work mom, and we're probably the only two people who kind of knew an insight into her life.
So you're saying, do you have her Indian number?
No, I don't. She hasn't got an Indian number. All I know is she's got a cousin on Instagram and a brother, but they're not giving any. They basically told So our manager rang the brother when it first happened, and he basically told him to fuck off and stay out of their family affairs. So he's not helping at all. And obviously, by his response, when I said someone's obviously using, portraying your sister to be something she's not, he wasn't too interested.
What do you, man, I feel for you, Perry. I mean, what are your, what do you hope? I mean, what are you looking for out of this?
Well, obviously I want my girlfriend back, but I don't think it's that easy. But I just want to know, actually hear from her and know she's safe. And just what her plans are, if she has any. Just like loads of unanswered questions, just that need answering, basically, that only she can probably answer. But at the end of the day, for her, well, if she can come back, come back. But if not, just to know she's safe and she's well. And that's it.
Cool. Well, man, I heard that one of these stories probably five, I think it was 5, 6 months ago. Someone, it was a girl from the Sikh community, I believe, and something similar happened, and she went missing, of course, but this was in the UK, and she turned back up. And I mean, obviously, it had to do with a black partner. A couple months later, I saw a picture of her, and she was pregnant and smiling and happy and had finally got away. So, I mean, for me, I really wanted you to be able to share your story because I feel like there, you know, probably a lot more people that have experienced something similar, and just probably never said anything about it because they, you know, felt ashamed about it, just felt like they couldn't talk about it. So, I mean, people lead me to believe that it is more commonplace. So. I'm just hoping that people can start talking about it more, really, and fight against it, really. Obviously, it's not easy when it's your family and manipulation and you know, all of that stuff. Because I know you explained some of the things that they were doing, and it was just twisted, really.
Yeah, because with the cousin as well. So I messaged the cousin before they had, I unfollowed them. And basically, the cousin, I asked how he was doing, and he had basically said, yeah, I'm cured from cancer. You can't get cured from cancer. So it never existed in the first place. But he was maneuvering like someone who was not even concerned about corona or anything, let alone having a life long-term illness.
Yeah. What about, okay, somebody's saying, do you have any information about her family in India, like address or anything?
I have an address, but I think where the address is, it's not a street, it's like a province. But I've got a house number, if it is a house number. So I've got the address she sent me before it all started going crazy. And I can share it. I don't know if it will help.
You want to throw it in the
Yeah,
chat?
I'll throw it in there. Hold on.
Jazzy T is ready to go, CIA and FBI, and see what's going on. No, but I mean, I shared some of the messages with you, Perry. There are a lot of people in the community who were saying that I'm, you know, from that you know, province or area, and you know, they're very tight-knit communities, and they may know them. So what's the last name, for example, or all of this other information. So,
Let me just get the address. Hold on, guys.
Yeah, that's a good question. So somebody's asking about charity. So, you contacted Karma Nirvana as well too, is that correct?
Yeah, so they basically directed me to the police. And then the police weren't really much help, even though they said they had trained individuals for it. So I don't know where else to go, basically.
Did you, I mean, did they talk, did Carmen Avanza speak to you or?
So I rang them, and they spoke to me, and they said normally with these type of cases, to go to the police and then speak to one of their trained experts. When I did speak to them, they didn't really help.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so they kind of just said that if you receive any more inappropriate messages, let them know. But I don't know what much else they can do. They said they can't really do much. My friend is a police officer as well, so I asked her what happens in this kind of situation, and she turned around and said basically they open the case and then it's like a tick box exercise
Gotcha.
and that's it, because they don't really know what to do.
And then we have the brother as well too.
So the brother's here, and I basically just said to the police and embassy, if I know by getting hold of the brother, then, or even on his phone, I can find out all the answers because I know he's the instigator from here. But obviously, they can't just go and say, okay, we're taking your phone.
Yeah, okay, right. So let's go ahead and we're gonna go ahead and cut this off. We'll speak in the background. But
All
I thank you for coming on and sharing your story and just talking about it and just getting it out there really. I personally felt like that was important, and I hope that you've actually, taken something from it and it's given you a bit of a positive feeling.
right.
Any other comments from the chat?